due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
All I know is this violates every canon of respectable broadcasting.
Back to work. Back to work. Everybody. Work, 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 work. Work, work.
Just get one of those inflatable women. But make sure it's a woman, though. This one time I...
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
You're absolutely correct.
You are correct, sir. Yes!
One of these days, somebody's going to make that trade that's going to be the bottom.
The NASDAQ up nearly 5% today.
Going to be the bottom. Wish we could get paid for talking somebody out of doing a dump trade.
Woohoo! Easy money!
Dow Jones Industrials today, get this everybody, higher by 488 points.
Going to be the bottom.
Higher by over 5.3%.
Going to be the bottom.
A 445-point gain. The NASDAQ higher by 73 points.
Bottom, bottom, bottom.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Tom Shanahan. Remember, this is our last show at this time today, as of February 1st. You can go right back to the Stocks and Jacks spot, internet, and we will be back on from 5:30 to 7 in the morning, complete with all the iPods and all the other stuff you're used to having. And we will be on the air on station 1240 in Chicago. We'll be back on with Dr. J, Tommy, Kevin, and assorted guests, and it'll be a good show. And we'll have call-ins, obviously, at that hour of the morning. Be a little more convenient for people as they're in their car and so forth. But anyway, today, Tommy, we got a little bit of a sell-off, maybe more than a little bit of a sell-off. S&P futures down 1390, which is a real number. It's a solid 1.2%. Dow Jones elsewhere average down 116. NASDAQ down 25, not quite as bad. Transportation average down about 60, so everything is pretty much in a swoon here. A lot of it has to do with the J.P. Morgan numbers. A lot of it has to do probably with the fact that we're just been up for a while, and clearly there's a massive issue with going on with taxation and what the modus operandi from all these various state and local and federal governments are going to be to try and get some of this deficit money back in various levels. And it sure seems to me that no matter how you look at how they're going to do it, Tommy, it's probably not a good story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, government, you know, but deficits clearly at the state level, you know, with the tax receipts down, it become more of a problem. I mean, what's Illinois' budget deficit now? It's $12 billion, $13 billion?
It's $12 billion. And the weird part of it is we're talking about...
what's the budget here, $50, $60 billion or something?
Not even. They're talking about some of these cities are starting to reach 40, 45% as the deficit of the expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're talking about... You know, we're not talking about a $100 billion budget with a $5 billion deficit. We're talking about a $25 billion budget with a $10 billion deficit, which is a real number.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and obviously states cannot print money. They can keep borrowing, I guess.
You know, it's funny. Interesting you say that. When I was at this energy conference the other day, I was with the guy who I said before, Occidental Petroleum, Steve Chazen. And one of the things in California is that by constitutional mandate, it takes a two-thirds majority to raise taxes. And they can't get that through the House because the 60-40 split Democrat-Republican there, 60 Democrat, 40 Republican, is not enough. And the Republicans will not let it go over. So, you know, states like California, clearly, you know, we hear about Schwarzenegger going to the government and, you know, trying to get... get themselves money back, you know, that what they call retention. You know, if I pay X amount in taxes, how much do I get back? You know, they're not getting it. And California, obviously, is in deep, deep trouble.
Well, you never get – they were looking for a check, which is sort of unique.
Right.
I mean, that's when you talk about what you give and what you get back, I mean, it usually is in terms of services, you know, in the sense that what is the government – I mean, there's a list of all the states – ship to government. Say Illinois, you know, ships $100 billion to government, and it puts them in the ranks them 20th in states. Probably more like 15th. You know, are they ranked in 15th and stuff? The federal government does here, be it Army Navy bases, be it the other stuff.
Well, yeah, exactly. You need the military to get over 100%.
But it's not a check. I mean, it's a
no. It's spending.
In California for a long time, you know, and I don't know if this has anything to do with the fact that. You know, California has been Democratic, at least in the senator side, for really quite a while, haven't they? Because
mm-hmm.
there is a, on the military side, I mean, I don't know the full formula, but I believe there's a bipartisan group that whenever they look at closing military bases, they come up with a huge list of bases, and essentially the rest of the Congress is prohibitive, although they, I'm sure behind the scenes they whine all they can, is prohibitive from, like, pulling one base off the list. You either have to close them all or send the group back working again. And in the last couple of rounds of that, I mean, California went from being on the pretty leading edge of how much money they got back from the government because they had a slew of bases.
Yeah, but you know what's ironic, though? As much military as in California, I don't think they've ever been over 100. I mean, states like North Dakota and that are over.
I think they were, Tommy. But they were pretty darn close. But I'm saying they closed, in one of those base closings, they closed like 15 places in California. And they went from wherever they were, which was, let's say, somewhat fair, whether they were over or under a little bit, to being pretty deep in a hole. And, you know, Illinois is sort of the same way. I mean, they closed Rantoul, they closed Glenview, they closed all kinds of stuff here.
Illinois has never been over 100 either. It's always 70-something percent, I want to say.
But, I mean, they closed Alameda, mm-hmm. they closed the naval base in Oakland, and they closed all kinds of stuff. I mean, San Diego's still open, obviously, but we could sort of go in. But right now, California, I've got, and there's a CNN Money article here by Colin Barr, it has California, their budget, their deficit is 50% of the projected revenue, mm-hmm. closely followed by Arizona and Illinois. How did Illinois get into this mess? I have no idea, because we don't have anywhere near the housing issue that those two do.
Because we spend like maniacs?
because we're corrupt. I mean, we're absolutely corrupt. I mean, I can say that. I mean, how many people have gone to jail? I mean, we are absolutely corrupt. And we're 40%, according to the Pew data. Now, this is the kind of stuff, Arizona's trying to sell their state office buildings and lease them back. Now, that's a short-term, stupid solution. We've laid off a whole bunch of people at the University of Illinois, evidently, here. A dozen more states are between 20 and 29%. Nevada, New York, Alaska, Nevada, New York, and New Jersey face gaps of at least 30%. So it's like California 50, Arizona, Illinois 40, Alaska, Nevada, New Jersey, New York at 30, and a dozen more between 20 and 29. So these are dramatically real numbers. I mean, we're not talking about a little bit. And I don't see any talent whatsoever or any truth that is going forward and saying, this is what we have to do. I don't see it anywhere, do you?
No. I mean, the interesting thing is, California, it was a couple of years ago or last year, the marijuana growers offered the state like $2 billion in cash to make it legal. I think they're probably ready to think about that right now.
Well, they just introduced, that was been the big news this morning. Somebody introduced a bill in the last couple of days.
Right.
And, now there's all kinds of issues with that. I mean, with the
problem, I don't think you can supersede federal law, and so it really doesn't matter what the state says.
That's certainly one of the issues. The other is the growers out there are doing very, very well on the medical marijuana. That's been growing dramatically.
Oh yeah. Well, you go to your doctor and say, I have a stress headache, and you will go roll a fatty.
Well, that's right. And I mean, I don't know if it's that easy, but let's say the amount of people are it's growing and. And those guys are doing very, very well, and evidently the stuff is pretty darn strong. I mean, I was never even a much of a user in college at all, and it's not really since. But I think that the stuff is a lot stronger now than when my friends were smoking it in college 35 years ago.
Probably. They've hybridized things quite a bit.
Well, it wasn't the stuff you went on the Indiana Highway and chopped down along the side of the road and it dried out. I mean, this is real stuff. Anyway. But obviously we got all these problems in Washington as we're zeroing in on these banks. And J.P. Morgan this morning was supposed to come up with all these great numbers, and they really didn't, because they're talking about, state and local, the municipal bond area dropped from $5 billion to $2.7 billion because that area is starting to close up a little bit in terms of the wide margins they had 3 months ago. And they've still got problems in the computer and consumer areas, and they drop another $1 billion on credit card problems and so forth. And I think they got problems in some commercial real estate loans. So even though they made a lot of money, there was enough warnings in there to cause a problem. And the stock actually is down. It's down 70 cents, and everybody thought they were going to be a huge winner. Intel last night came out with good numbers, or what people thought were good numbers, 40 cents, which still, I mean, there's not much of a growth. And they were up as much as, $1.20 time after the close? You and I saw it, now they're down 40 cents.
I think the lag today is energy is down a little bit, and more importantly, the banks are off a little.
Yeah.
J.P. Morgan, of course, had earnings, and the stock is limping around here a little bit. You know, not a strong day. I think it's down, 2-3% now?
Down 70 cents to 44.01.
Right. You know, Goldman Sachs is a little bit off today. You know, Morgan Stanley's down 3.5%, a dollar. Goldman Sachs down $3, which is almost 2%. You know, so, you know, just a little bit of softness here. You know, in the spooze, Kevin will talk about this in the second half, I'm sure. You know, this 1125, 1130 area is kind of a big technical level. I don't, you know, if we go through that, I think I'd be a little more inclined to think we're going lower. But until that, I'm not sure we are.
Well, I mean, and everybody is obviously very concerned one way or the other, and it's easy to get an opinion on it, as the federal government is taking aim at the banks in terms of a fee slash tax or whatever you want.
Right.
And when you start, I mean, I think that we'll talk about that after the break, because it clearly has people nervous going forward. S&P futures down 13.20, that they're going to take out a rifle and aim for anybody with any money in his wallet, which, you know, I think is probably going to happen, unfortunately. Dow Jones Industrial is down 107. I'm Tom Howe. He's Tom Shanahan. We'll be right back here for the break.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a risk-free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try Hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-995-2988. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-995-2988. 1-800-995-2988.
Attention, if you're attempting to lose weight, please stay tuned for an important opportunity. In a 6-month clinical study, participants lost an average of 30 pounds without changing their eating habits or routine. Now, Sensa is conducting a market trial in this listening area. If you're trying to lose weight, you are eligible to try Sensa free for 30 days. Call 1-800-715-1015 now to request your free trial. Participation in this free trial does not require any dieting, pills, or change in lifestyle. In fact, we only ask that you continue your current eating habits. Just use clinically proven Sensa, the same weight loss breakthrough you've seen on Extra, Dateline NBC, and America's Newsroom. Results are guaranteed. If you want to lose weight, you are eligible to participate in this market trial. Sensa has not yet been released to stores, so for your 30-day free trial, you must call this number now. 1-800-715-1015. That's 1-800-715-1015.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Tom Shanahan. S&P futures still down 1340. We've kind of a miserable day here on Wall Street so far, and I don't see it.
Not unless you're short.
Yeah, you know, it's actually not so miserable for a couple of my positions. It's not bad, but that's not the point. I mean, I think we have a, you know, Tommy, I think there's starting to be some pretty nasty fear, and what the government's role in all this is. And I find, in full disclosure, you know, I voted for these people, and now I think we have an awful lot of people that have never been in business running around Washington, and they see government as the fixer. I mean, and this morning I've heard from three or four different senators about how the banks caused the problem. They should pay. None of the quote population should pay. You know, to me that's amazingly dangerous, because I am not a bank fan of their behavior during the last 100 years. I'm not talking about the last 3 years. I mean, I think the regulation has always been horrendous. There's always been too few of them. They were allowed to get more and more concentrated. But anybody who thinks that the bank's performance over the last 10 years has been any worse than the government's performance, I mean, that's idiocy. I mean, and I don't usually use terms that strong. I mean, anybody thinks that Fannie Mae and Freddie, which are government-run, or pretty much government-run, did any better of a job than banks, and even today, the banks are at least quasi-fixed. Fannie and Freddie are not. Anybody who thinks that this was all their fault and not government pushing everybody into houses and not individual people, you know, clamoring to get in there and making bad decisions, I'd say it's pretty well across the board. And I think American people might be dumb, but they're not that dumb in the sense that it looks to me like we're just pointing a finger at right now people that the rest of the society don't like, give themselves a bonus, whether it's too big or too little, you know, who knows. we can certainly go into the boards being dysfunctional, but the fact is, I mean, does that mean that if PTI ever were to have a really good year, that they're gonna figure out that we got a few shekels and send somebody our way, or what?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, it's but the difference with PTI is I don't recall you guys getting any TARP money.
Well, that's right.
No,
I mean, but I mean, those guys paid. I mean, to the extent that they paid that back,
right?
The problem in the banks is I look at the issue as being a concentration issue, and Tommy, the problem in our society right now, and I don't know if you looked at the Washington Post this morning, but they're not the only ones that have had this. Everybody looks at the consumer inflation in 2009, with prices rise 2.7%, which is not a whole lot, right? Except it's an awful lot for a recession. I mean, it's an awful lot for a recession, I think. But now, if you look at it, what's the inflation adjusted number? Wages actually fell. This is the sharpest decline since 1990. Wages actually fell 1.6% across the board.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. I mean, that is the issue. Figuring out ways to tax the few people that are doing okay just to keep pensions flowing to people, a lot of whom don't deserve it in a governmental area, is that's not going to last. We're going to end up being like Haiti, for God's sake, if that's the direction we go. Am I being too harsher or what?
Yeah, you're a little off the end of the pier there, Francis.
Well, I mean, how far have we gone in the last 2 or 3 years? I mean, we have people. I mean, another thing I learned way in, talk about Morgan Stanley. I believe it was Morgan Stanley this morning, came out with a recommendation on Kellogg, Kellogg of Battle Creek. And those of us that like their cornflakes, I mean, what could be wrong about Kellogg? Well, tell you what, you can go into the biggest food store in the world. I know I'm jumping around a little bit. You go into the biggest food store in the world. You know, Kellogg's up 62 cents today, $54.49. And go into the cereal aisle that runs from here to Iowa, for God's sake, and what do you find? You find virtually three brands.
Right. General Mills, Kellogg, and Post.
Post, yeah. And I'm not sure, does Post even, are they independent or are they owned by, so I don't even know. But I should know. But the point being is, okay, what they basically came out and said is that Kellogg has managed to get themselves a spot. And then the recommendation actually was, no matter what the economic environment, they feel that Kellogg can keep their sales, their margin, and their profits. What does that say to people?
Price fixing?
Yes. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's certainly not.
It's rampant through the economy. So we essentially have firms that no matter, and I'm not saying if we go into a 1932 depression, which I sure hope we don't, that Kellogg won't be effective. I mean, I'm smarter than the guy at Morgan Stanley. They will be affected. I'm sorry. But the fact is we have this problem. I mean, we have problems at banks. The issue is not the bonus. The issue is giving out loans at 7.5% to commercial people, 25% to credit card people, and paying people half of 1% for the money. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Am I right or not?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you know, my rant, which I say all the time, banks, you know, are borrowing for zero, courtesy of the Fed and TARP and that, and they're lending at twice the rate they used to, but they're lending to half as many people.
Right? Yeah, and they're pretty happy with it.
You betcha, you know, and, you know, now they're crying a little bit because, you know, they used to make a lot of money on that short end of the curve and they can't, you know. It's very aggravating.
Yeah, and the huge sucking sound is that the taxation and what the government's looking to do is they look and they say, okay, the taxes or the banks, a lot of whom have gotten the TARP, so, I mean, that's a little bit of a wrinkle in here. They're saying, okay, these guys really are taxing right now, for lack of a better term, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So let's just hit them with a special tax to get our piece.
Mm-hmm.
Really is what's happening. Instead of saying, let's stop the banks from doing what they're doing, force the money back down to the general population to maybe where they, there's a lot of people around who would love to be paying taxes, Tommy. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, when you're mean.
Right?
In theory, right.
I'll tell you what, the day comes that I write a $1 million check to the government, I'm buying a whole bar of beer. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be sad that day. I'm sorry. Because that means I made what? Three?
Right, exactly. You hope, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we're at the point now, I mean, these states, I mean, we're talking, I mean, and the people that are involved, in my opinion, I mean, in the state of Illinois, I mean, we've got Governor Quinn. Might be a good guy, Tommy. What possible thing in his background would lead you to believe that he has the mentality to pull this off? I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't.
Illinois is going to have to swallow a big cut in spending pill that it's not going to like.
But they're not going to do that. And you've got, You've got Mayor Daley, who, you know, I know personally, and, you know, individually, I like the guy. I mean, as somebody who's, it's going to be sell something else. Let's patch it together for a year. Let's not figure out a way that, you know, maybe firemen don't work 20 years and get paid for 70. I mean, it's, you know, let's not, I mean, we're talking about putting a Walmart in Chicago and how, you know, people make an $8.50 an hour. For God's sake, a parking ticket's 50. A parking ticket's going to be a day's pay at a Walmart.
Yeah,
I mean, we're finding a way to just suck all this out of people. And I don't know. I don't see this getting much better, even though the economy obviously is better than it was a year ago.
Well, you know, actually, Tom, you know, one of the things that I can't remember if we talked about this yesterday, you know, one of the parts of the economy that's really doing very poorly, and it's kind of ironic, is refining. The margins for a lot of the refiners, even though we're paying quite a lot for gas still, it hasn't gone up as much as oil has.
And where's that money? I mean, we're almost back. I mean, in a lot of areas, Tommy, we're back to $3 a gallon. And where's that sneaking in? I mean,
well, you got to remember, oil has gone from, you know, back up to about $80 a barrel. That's where we are. We're around 78.5 today. What really is more shocking, one of the comments made at the conference I was at, and, you know, I knew things were bad for the refiners, is that there's a new refinery that opened up in India. It's a 600,000 barrel a day facility, pretty large by industry standards.
What's average? Is there such a thing as average?
You know, the two were closed recently on the East Coast. Sunoco closed one in Marcus Hook near Philadelphia, and Valero closed one in Delaware. They were both about 100-150.
Do you have any idea how big this BP one is in Whiting? That's pretty big.
It's probably about 200-300, I'm guessing.
I'll say so. It's about half the size of this thing in India.
It's about 600, I want to say.
Okay.
And I'll have to look into Whiting. I don't remember the numbers anymore.
Well, it looks huge when you drive by it.
Yeah. The one in India that just opened, it's actually more economical. They can make the gasoline in India, tanker it to the hub in New Jersey and New York there where futures tend to – where they settle the delivery point. And it's cheaper to do that than it is to make it in Philadelphia and move it up 90 miles or 100 miles to that same spot.
So you're saying
economics are so bad for refiners here, that's why you're seeing refineries actually closing here in the U.S.
Well, just so people and me can understand, now, the one in India, obviously there's not oil right there. So you're talking about getting a tanker, unloading it, refining it, loading it back up, and sending it here. So you're talking about an unloading and a loading being, and they're doing that, and it's still cheaper.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, refining is just having a rough time here in the U.S., and it's not, especially on the Gulf Coast and the East Coast, it's just not very good. I mean, stocks like Marathon, MRO, really look terrible.
Valero, too?
Yeah, Valero, Tesoro, they're really in some trouble. I was in a meeting with Amerada Hess, and they're running their one refinery in New Jersey, and it's more of a cat cracker, so it's actually doing okay. It's scratching along. But the one they share a half interest in the Caribbean with.
All right, Tommy, hold this thought for after the break. S&P futures down 1460, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 119, a little more slippage. We'll be right back on Stocks and Jacks.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Seems the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins. There's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-906-3949. Wouldn't that be amazing to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-906-3949. 1-800-906-3949.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-358 888-978-9611. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-358-9611. That's 800-358-9611.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. S&P futures down now 1460, which I think is the low that I've seen, Tammy. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 119. I have every single stack except Home Depot down in the Dow. And the transportation average, I have it unanimous. Everything is down.
Most everything across the energy sector is down. One exception today, there was a little bit of babbling about Chesapeake Energy, CHK, being bought by Chevron. Ever since Exxon's purchase of XTO a few weeks ago, there's all kinds of speculation that Chevron, who's the next player behind them and has a fairly substantial balance sheet, is out looking. I tend to I don't think they would buy Chesapeake, but you're seeing that stock up a little bit today on that stock's trading 27.88, up 20 cents in a down energy day. So something to keep an eye on. I don't really believe it, but it's certainly possible, I guess.
Tommy, yesterday, I don't know if we talked a little bit, and this number, I'm hoping you can enlighten me. I cannot, and the listeners probably have heard this before, but I absolutely cannot fathom the amount of seasonality in these weekly jobless claims in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Last week, the number, actually, it came out, 440 was the official number, or 430 or something like that, saying that it was a good number. The actual unfiltered number was 801, the worst since, 1990 or something.
Wow.
It's second worst ever.
I didn't know that.
And in the last 3 weeks, we've been 430, 440, 430, 440, something on the published numbers. The unfixed numbers, the unseasonally adjusted number, were 640, 630, and 801. It's 850,000 people. Do you think for a second that seasonal employment was that much in the last December? I don't see that at all.
No, I hope not. Wow.
The department stores that used to hire, I can't imagine those people hiring almost a million people at all. I mean, what's going to happen when we unwind the seasonal thing, if we ever do?
Yeah, well, those numbers get adjusted so much, I personally kind of...
But double?
I avoid putting too much credibility in them.
I'm not accusing our government, well, I guess I will. I'll accuse them of doing, all kinds of, but I mean... I would have thought that out of all the numbers that we get, adding up the claims that come from 50 states, this shouldn't take a third grader with a calculator more than 20 seconds. I didn't realize it always was intrigue and that kind of intrigue in that number.
Yeah, no, I mean the big thing I'm thinking, Tom, is I'm really worried that what's going to happen to this market in April. When we have another dip in unemployment, maybe shoots up to 10.5 or 10.75. If that really does happen, what's that going to do to the market? I think people, are of a mindset right now in the marketplace. It seems like that, we're in the midst of some sort of rally and recovery, and I'm just not seeing that. And I just wonder how the market will handle it. I mean, volatility is actually pretty low right now, and I don't know. I think that. It'll be very interesting to see the stomach people have for another double dip, recession, if you want to call it that.
Well, I've listened to people on CNBC this morning, and there's our buddy Dr. Jay's out there. We should be seeing him soon.
Uh-huh.
I've heard guys refer to and use phrases like continued improvement in the labor area, continued job growth. One guy actually, has there been one job created yet? What is he talking about? I mean, we've slowed dramatically, and I know people getting laid off. But how many times can you lay the same person off?
Right. Yeah, typically once.
Yeah. I mean, when you start to get the 15, 20 million people either out of work or have a part-time job and are looking for full-time, I mean, I guess it could get worse, but, it can't get worse at the same pace, I don't think, can it?
No. I mean, it'd be interesting to see, what Kevin says here, we're getting down to this 11, 25, 30 range in the SPOOS. And, you know, a drop could be very interesting. I mean, I don't know that the market is, you know, we've held this number the last couple times when we had the sell-off. But I really, you know, again, it's energy's kind of coming off here. I could see oil trickling down into the low 70s from, you know, rallied up to 85. Now it's around 78. I think, you know, we might see a bleed downward. It's going to be very interesting to see. You know,
we've seen a run-up timing in the bonds here, and, like, all of us are, well, I guess we're all under the agreement that if the economy gets better, that one of the things that's going to happen is you want to be short these bonds. Now they've run up, so thank God we didn't do it like 4 days ago. Are you looking at them as a spot here or no? I mean, I got the 30-year rate down to like 4.56 again. It was up to 4.7, a little over 4.7.
Yeah, I watched the 10-year more. It's 367. You know, if that thing keeps going down, you know, back down to what, 320, 330?
Yeah, for those of you that don't, I mean, I think a lot of people that listen to the show do know this, but if you want to figure out what the 30-year rate is, it's TYX, okay, which is an ETF that has the rate, and the 10-year is TNX, correct, Tommy?
Yes, and then the 5-year also is FBX, Frank Victor X-ray.
So I've got the TNX is 3.668 is the percentage, and I had it with a high of, this would have been a couple weeks ago, and obviously we were more bullish.
Mm-hmm.
It got to 3.84 on actually the last day of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the tip-top in the last year and a half, or last year, was right about 4%, and that was last June.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, 4.013 on June 11th. And it's been really between 3.1 something and 4 really the whole time in the last 6 months. And now we're almost right in the middle of that number.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that tells you.
You know, interesting thing I watch too sometimes is hearing some stories out that UBS today was cautious on the restaurant. So keep an eye on McDonald's. That's been a really strong stock this year. And if that thing were to turn around, that's definitely a barometer of the consumer.
Well, Tommy, thank you very much. And Tommy will be one of the main stars on the morning show. Probably be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that. We'll see everybody. Well, Tommy, we'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
Right.
I'll be back with Kevin Reardon after the break.
Please stay tuned to the following public announcement. The government and private banks are liquidating houses now. These houses have been foreclosed, confiscated, or repossessed, and will be sold. Homes may be sold for very little money down. To learn how to receive a free list of foreclosures, call 800-335-1850. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N are allowed to start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Every house must be sold. The government and banks are very motivated to sell these homes quickly, so listings may not always remain available in all areas. So act now. I repeat, this is a public announcement. All listeners whose last name begins with the letter A through N can start calling now. Listeners whose last name begins with O through Z can begin calling tomorrow, 9 a.m. Call CRN's national toll-free hotline to learn how to receive your free foreclosure list at 800-335-1850. That's 800-335-1850.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-481-8941.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-481-8941. That's 1-800-481-8941.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Kevin Reardon. Kevin, we just had Tommy on. S&P futures down 1570. And we actually had a call for you yesterday, Frank from Houston. He swore he would call back today
okay.
to get your view. I had to tell him you're not.
Him some money.
Yeah, I had to tell him that you are not as attractive as Holly, who I think he was actually looking for. But anywho, not many people are as attractive as Holly, so it's not no slur against you.
Backpedaling here.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I'm just looking. I'm trying to find some good news here, and I'm looking at these states broke. The federal government now, if you show them your wallet, they want to tax you, because they figured out the banks have this incredible way to make money, and I figured they got to participate, and they're the ones that let them get there. We're still not exactly sure what's going to happen to Fannie and Freddie, so it's not like the federal government's run part of the mortgage business is doing any better. Matter of fact, it's doing worse. So, anywho, but now we've got the market with a pretty severe sell-off here, Kevin, and I think a lot of it was due to the Intel numbers, which at one point the stock was up one something last night. Now it's down 43 cents. I look at those and I said, 40 cents, big deal. So that's, even if they do 40 cents a quarter, I mean, that's $1.60. So that's, 13, 14 times earnings, no dividend, in probably the single biggest monopoly that we know. How good is that? Not so hot.
No.
But then, J.P. Morgan now talking about, guess what? The huge, and you and I talked about this, when we came out of the deepest, darkest depths of the recession and all those firms went out of business, the guys left in the municipal bond and state bond business, the fixed income business, were raping and pillaging because those spreads were so wide. Well, guess what? The competition has filled that void a little. So instead of making like $5 billion the quarter before, they only made $2.7 billion in that area. And they're having problems with their consumer debt. Go figure, as people are out of work and can't pay. And they're having some problems with some of the commercial loans. Go figure. I mean, it's not like this is a thing. And we're talking about get you up to speed, mm-hmm. this state numbers. I mean, I was looking at these state numbers. They're talking about California, their deficit is 50% of revenue. Illinois and Arizona are 40% of revenue. How we get in there, I don't know, but except that we're crooked. Alaska, Nevada, New Jersey, and New York are 30% of revenue. There's another dozen states between 20 and 29. So we're talking deficits that are absolutely real. And you're not gonna borrow over 40% of your revenue. I don't think. I mean, so we have these headwinds and the reason why I love having you on is you like to dispense with all that and look at the graphs and what do you think? Is today a turn or what?
The last couple of years, the biggest thing in the markets, and again, I'm a futures trader, so I'm referring to all futures markets, whether it's corn or gold or crude oil or the stock indexes, the biggest word has been momentum. And we've had a momentum up in the stocks for the last 10 months, okay? And the whole buy the dips mentality dies a slow death, and that's what happens. So quite often when you see a day like this that, I've been on your show for weeks now, telling you that I felt there was a reckoning coming, that there was a whole bunch of resistance above all of the indexes, that the Russell index and the DAX completed certain patterns, and Apple. They all completed a Fibonacci sell pattern. 215 is what we call the high for Apple. The S&Ps and Dow also completed different patterns, but similar topping patterns. So all this was coming to be, but it takes a little time for that to turn, for the momentum to shift. Markets don't go straight up and necessarily drop like a stone. There's a little bit of a psychology shift needs to take place, and it takes a little while. So sometimes, guaranteed, people who aren't watching the markets today time will pick up their Barron's tomorrow or their, Wall Street on Sunday or something and say, geez, what went on Friday to really drop the market? Well, all great things have small beginnings. This was due. The sell-off was due. The rally is aged. It's not necessarily about the news today. The technicals, absolutely, Tom. The technicals were in place that traders needed to be very, very cautious holding longs in this area, and I'm on record as saying that for quite some time. Now, whether we crash, like some friends of mine think they will, or we just do a healthy 38% retracement of this move up, in the S&Ps, the Dow, they put it down to about 991. I think that'd be a real healthy pullback in a much bigger picture. But technically, we're right in the resistance. As far as the news, the bottom line is I don't think the news justified this rally to begin with. So someone who's looking at today's news saying, geez, why is it going down? The news is not so bad. Well, guess what? The news wasn't that good to drag it up all this far to begin with. It was a momentum move, and the momentum has shifted, in my opinion. I'm looking at this. This is looking like a correction has begun.
Well, we also, if that's the case, and time will tell, but I have to, but I'm just been deferring to you because you've been pretty right, my friend. Of course, that will turn, and then I will be right, and I will be more than happy to let you know. But the everybody gets to.
But, I mean, time, I know.
But I mean, I think we're looking at a, you know, somewhat of a four-legged stool, as you were, if we're talking about health and the economy. And one of them has been, you know, wages, which clearly that stool, you better not be sitting on that edge of your stool.
Right.
And we just talked about last year that the consumer prices actually rose 2.7%, which is pretty damn high considering we're in a recession all year. And at the actual inflation-adjusted number, the average wage of the average person dropped 1.6%, which means that the whole earning part of the stool is pretty bad, especially if you're anywhere where you're paying for health care or if you're anywhere having to pay for tuition. I mean, clearly your particular inflation was an awful lot higher than the average. I mean, so you're not progressing on that area. You're surely not progressing on your home assets, any type of a real property assets. You have made some progress in the market, okay? You know, I guess if you would, I don't know what you'd even consider to be the fourth stool, but clearly the third stool, if we yank that one out, I mean, we've got a problem because, I mean, politically, it seems to me, I mean, in our lifetime, Kevin, it's gone from, labor, labor, labor. I mean, could people get a job? And we've gone, not totally, from a nation of workers to a nation of investors.
Right.
There's been a slip. I mean, and I don't know which is better, which is worse, but there's an awful lot of people. I mean, I won't say they personally don't really care whether anybody has a job as long as the market goes up. And an awful lot of people now, I mean, at some point, even in your working career, you worry more about your 401k plan than you do your last 6 months that you're working. You know, I mean, at some point, it's getting to that way. And that's a good thing. I mean, you don't see anybody in Haiti or anybody else have an investment they retire on, right?
Right.
I mean, so I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, you want to be in people investing and owning the economy. That's what makes America, America. But if you start pulling that, we do an awful, you say that it's a healthy correction, say 30%, which puts us back down, say 10,000 on the Dow from 10.5.
Sure.
I don't know that the part healthy, if you're going to give a toast at any kind of wedding, that you're not going to end up without olives bouncing off your head if you say that's healthy, because there's nothing else to pick anything up.
Well, you know, again, my feeling is when I say healthy, from an investor point of view,
right,
I understand the public wants everything to go up all the time.
Yeah.
That's just not realistic. It's just absolutely not realistic, and the market gets to be unstable, unbalanced, we've been talking about it. I don't want Wall Street to think that they don't have to, you know, that this get out of jail free card that they constantly get handed, that they don't have to change their policies.
Oh, I agree.
And that's the biggest thing. So I'm looking at I'm not going to call it a bubble, Tom. The market, it does what markets do. It over-exaggerated the move to the downside. This is over-exaggerated to the upside. You know, we need to let a little steam out from under the lid. Otherwise, the sell-off could get chaotic.
And well, hold that thought till after the break. S&P futures now down 17.20, which looks to be the low to me, Kevin. We'll be right back on Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Fed up with escalating health care costs? Tired of competing against big companies for talent and losing because of inferior benefits? Confused by the ever-changing backdrop of employment law? Want to spend more time on your business than on payroll and employment problems? If your answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need Empower HR, one of Chicago's oldest and most trusted human resources management and professional employer organizations. Empower HR has been helping small business better manage complex employee issues for over 12 years. Whether you're an HR manager who's looking for additional resources or a business owner who's neither the time nor expertise to manage your HR functions, call Empower HR today at 800-818-0707. That's 800-818-0707. Or check out their website at www.empowerhr.com. That's empowerhr.com. Empower HR, your human resources partner.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, 10 years at least?
I look at her and it's like I'm looking at a picture of my wife from 20 years ago. It's incredible.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a risk-free trial of Hydroxytone today. The results are so impressive, hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals. Try hydroxytone risk-free and shed years from your appearance faster than you thought possible.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-995-2988. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-995-2988. 1-800-995-2988.
Again, this is our last show at this time frame today. Kevin and I and Dr. J and Tommy and Robin will all be back starting February 1st on 1240 a.m. in Chicago, and we also will be on the same Stocks and Jacks website. So we will be on the air in a little lower power signal than everybody's used to in the score. So it may not reach everywhere, but at the places it doesn't reach, we will have a very serious, just like we have now. And I have to thank Randy behind the glass, who's done a spectacular job while we've been here. And become a pretty good pal. He's a good guy. And we wish him all the best, as well as Chris and the rest of the guys over at TalkZone. Anyway, we'll be back with those, you know, the same thing we have now, plus the ability to listen in the car. Kevin, as a way of, I have a note here from Robin that some of our listeners turned into your webinar last night, and it was very good.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I was not aware of that. They press the button, I talk for an hour and a half, and then we press it and we stop.
Well, that's
kind of you've sat at a table with me before.
Yes, yes. Well, you missed a good one last night. We solved most of the problems in the world.
Oh, did you?
We had Mr. Tommy Hammond, who's works for the ICE, the ICE is the world in the clear intercontinental clearing exchange, and they do a lot of they're doing a Russell, which is their new retail product they actually bought from somebody, but they do an awful lot of over the counter. Clearing. So a lot of real big oil trades between over-the-counter people are actually being matched up on this as an exchange now, and they're in the forefront of like taking some of these credit default swaps and so forth and putting them on exchanges. Obviously, the CME is in that business too, but I think it's probably fair to say that the ICE has a little leg up on them, and I think they're going to be a strong sponsor of our new show.
But, terrific.
But that part's a big. Let's go back to. You know, kind of what you were talking about in terms of, health of markets. I mean, things do get, and, you know, we talked the other day, Kevin, about how, you know, sometimes the retail investor is part of the, you know, of the pendulum swinging, you know, a couple inches too far all the time. And I'd say that, a lot of times people have essentially, I get calls from my people saying, market's going up. Why aren't we in? And unfortunately, a lot of the investing community, when the market's going up, you buy, and when the market's going down, you sell. And sometimes you really would like to be on the other side of that trade. I mean, make it perfectly blunt. You got to be careful that when people trust you, like I think people do me and you, you really don't say anything stupid. But by and large, if you and I were to say, God, there's a bull market in turtle eggs in Ganda, guess what? Somebody call us afterward and say, how do I get in the turtle egg market? You know, I mean, am I right or not?
Sure.
I think, you know, people are willing to take a lot of risk that I would never take with their money. You know, and I think that's a lot of times why they have it with me. It's because they know I'm more careful with it than they would be, which is kind of strange, but it's true. And, I have not let go of any of the, my protection for any of my people because some of these last parts of this rally, I don't have the same view of the graphs that you do, but it seems to me it was getting narrower and narrower. It was constantly the stocks that went up every time the dollar went down. It was almost getting nauseating as to the same companies.
Well, you know, a couple of things I think people need to consider in here. And I don't mean to be demeaning by any way in this, but this is very important for investors and traders. Professionals tend to assess the risk. Novice traders tend to assess the potential profits. And it is an enormous difference. That's why, you know, you've been looking at this and people are screaming, you know, it just keeps going up. I know I've had people telling me the same thing about, you know, crude oil last week. And I look at them and say, yeah, it's going up 10 sessions in a row. Biggest gains in, 10 years, I think. Where's your stop loss on the trade? Customers call up and want to buy some. They don't necessarily assess, where's my risk? And that's why professionals, have to sit back, assess the risk on the trade. I knew coming into 2010 that I did not want to be long the stock index futures up here. I did not want to be adding anything for anything more than a scalp trade. That from a position trade standpoint, this was resistance. And all that means is look for sell signals. And again, as bad as today is, given the greater scheme of things, it's really just a blip on the map.
Oh, sure.
What began in March. And again, I'm not sure I'm calling for a disaster, but it's normal market mechanics. And I think, you know, the psychology may begin to shift a little bit, and I think it may give us all a great buying opportunity in anywhere from 3 to 6 months. But for now...
all we've really done is drop to the same level we were last week.
Right.
You know, so we're not in danger of any... We're not anywhere near the moving averages or any of that stuff. I mean, obviously, the strength of the sell-off today causes you to little pause and look at it a little bit.
Well, it's the longest bar down that I've seen in quite some time on the daily charts of most of these indexes. Now, there was a big day down in the end of November, but guess what? Those days that hit the end of November, Tom, were not at all the resistance areas that I've been talking about in your show for the last 6 to 8 weeks. And that, I guess the word is the beauty, the elegance of the method that I trade with. And again, I haven't developed it. I've been taught. You know, a lot of this has been around since 1930s, quite frankly. But identifying resistance in advance, and we came into this window and said, okay, you know, God is my witness. I am not buying stock indexes up at these levels. I'm just looking for sell signals. Well, that takes away half the playbook. And you're just looking at one thing. I'm just looking for sell signals. And we had the sell signals that I've talked about, and it's a little bit easier, more patient way to trade. And right now, what I thought was going to happen is beginning. And so, again, I think there may be a little panic selling in here and maybe give us some opportunities to be buyers. But
Kevin, I got a line for you from your next seminar, and if you don't use it already. One thing is being a market maker in the pit, which I was for 17 years, it's very easy for you to stand there. I mean, these are streaks you weren't proud of, but where somebody would walk in and they'd say, I was in the OEX, and they'd go 380 calls, and I'd go, you know, 2 to a quarter or 2 to an eighth. It was always narrower than a quarter. And somebody said, I got 20 to sell, and I go, okay, I'll buy them. That immediately it goes down, and you sell them 1 and 7 eighths. You know, and then the next one is, you know, 2 to an eighth, I'll buy 20, and we immediately go up, and you're lucky you scratch them. But in a seminar, if I talk about it now, everybody here has probably, I mean, my people don't necessarily, but most people, when it become, you've been trading for a while, I'll say, how many of you guys, you know, have had like a letter writer or, you know, some guy telling you, you know, a predictor or something, a technical. I'm not talking about, you know, you that trade this stuff all day. I'm talking about there's a million people telling you whether stocks are going up and down. All you do is watch TV and you get a steady stream of it, mostly up, right, because they sell the upside. But you know, I'll just ask the simple question. Is it how many people in this room, whenever you make a trade, stop to think that the person on the other side of the trade is smarter than you today? And everybody looks at me like, God, the Chief's got a big head, but now he's got four of them. You know, I mean, like, and I said, no, seriously, how many people think that the guy you just bought it from, you're buying it from a person, right? Well, I guess, yeah. What makes you think that he's dumber than you?
That's
today.
A good point. Yeah.
You know, and then everybody, and again, now I'm like, why did I show up here? At least we get free donuts. That's a good part. You know, but, you know, it's like, why do you ever think that you're smarter than the other? I mean, as a trader, it's not that our ego is less. It's we've gotten beat up so much that we know if you ever think that you're going to be right all the time, you got no chance. I mean, because you're always worried about what if I do if I'm wrong, and you got to give the other guy his due once in a while. And I said, did the guy who you sold you the IBM stock when you're sure it's going up, did the guy who sold it to you, could his newsletter writer been better than yours today?
You know, when I was growing up, we had a pool in the backyard. And we had 9 kids, a whole nest of
God
family. I know I'm the youngest of 9, by the way. So my dad used to always tell us, you have to respect the water. And we all knew how to swim and all that stuff. And he's like, you know, if you don't respect the water, you know, that's when problems happen and all these terrible accidents you hear about and so on. Well, trading is like that. The moment you get a big head and you're disrespecting the market, something's going to come up and bite you. And you have to avoid the terror and panic and understand that everything runs through bad streaks. But you also have to avoid that King Kong syndrome like everyone had in the late 90s. Oh, I can't lose money. Or like everyone has now. They just buy it and it just goes up. Well, you know what? There's always a day of reckoning.
Aren't you surprised at how quickly this mentality came back, seeing as it was just wasn't very long ago that people were panicking and darn near going off ledges?
Well, you know what? If you look at the crash of 29, we had a real strong snapback recovery right after that, Tom, if you recall.
And then the economy took it back.
And then the market took it back. Now, I don't necessarily see that happening the exact same way. quite frankly, because a lot of people are saying it's going to be exactly.
You know, Kevin, I've read a little bit about that. Where did that come from? Because the amount of drop in the money supply and the economy was just falling apart. Where did that snap back? I mean, who are the morons that decided to buy in there? I mean, were they just crazed or what?
Well, you know, we have the advantage of, you know, history to look back on that. But the reality is, you know, market psychology, as we were talking about at the beginning, does die a slow death. And, you know, quite often after a very, very extended move in one direction, let's say to the upside, the first sell-off, everyone's still stuck in that, you know, buy the dips mentality. And then when the market, like for an example, let's say this day doubles down and we go down 400 on the Dow. I'm just making this up. Let's say that happens. And Monday we steady ourselves, and Tuesday we start to pop up. Well, you'll see that money pile back in.
Oh, God, yes.
And I will bet you one of those free donuts you're talking about, that the market will rally and probably do a pretty hefty retracement back into this really long bar here, probably about a 618 retracement. It is incredibly common because that psychology doesn't die right away. It takes a while for it to turn over.
All right. We had a question yesterday. Okay. The guy was wishing you were here, but he ran out of time instead. We're talking about oil, but he said he'd call back today, and he hasn't. But he wanted to know, when you start talking like a 618 retracement, what does that exactly mean? I mean, I know it's saying you're not going to give a whole class in Fibonacci, but what does that mean?
Well,
you know, in a Cliff Notes version.
It's a Cliff Notes version. It's not a percentage retracement off of the value of the market. That's how people talk on CNBC and the stocks. You know, a 10% correction of the stock. You know, if the stock's at $20, it's down $2. I'm talking about from a swing high to a swing low. So if anyone look at the crude oil chart, February crude went from 70.83 to $84 a barrel in about 2.5 weeks. A 618 retracement of that is just from the low to the high. What's a 618 retracement? I'm looking at it.
Low to high, that's almost exactly 20%, 70.84.
It's 75.84.
Okay, I thought you said 70.
Retracement from the high back down to the bottom of the move. But it's
so 12.5%.
Right. You're talking value of the market.
Yeah.
Right, and that's how stock guys talk, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we do need to be clear when we're talking to Fibonacci traders, because we are talking about retracements of a move. If a market goes from $20 to share, is consolidating for 6 months, Tom, and all of a sudden goes from 20 up to 50, and I said, boy, this market's due for a 30% retracement. Well, that's 30% retracement of that thrust, that $30 thrust.
So you're talking about a $9 move, not 15.
Thank you.
Okay.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So these are retracements off of the swings that are very common. And, you know, and that's why I'm looking for. I did my 2010 forecast a couple weeks ago. I really think the Dow Jones, a 38% retracement this year, gets it down around 9,100. And I do believe the market will visit there this year. I think once we start to peel back some of these programs that the government has installed last year, you know, I think the economy will stutter. I don't know about a double dip. But the market factored in extremes last March, and now it's factoring in a recovery like nothing happened. This is also a little bit irrational move, in my opinion. And I think the technicals bring us back to 9,100 sometime in 2010.
Well, Kevin, it's our last show. We'll be back on 12:40 a.m. and the same Stocks and Jacks website 2 weeks from Monday. Actually, Kevin, you and Tommy will be on 2 weeks from Monday. As of now, it looks like it'll be Dr. J on Tuesday and Thursday, and you and Tommy on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We will have sports. We will have weather. We'll have everything. It's going to be a real show.
Free donuts.
Free donuts. Well, through the air. Kevin, you have a nice weekend if I don't see you. Randy, again, thank you very much for all the help, and we'll be back 2 weeks from Monday.